Coming up next, we go down to tourism, and we had a chat yesterday to Alderman James Foss, and he was telling us that, you know, restrictions in terms of the economy and how he was at the airport and how he was actively engaged. And this was so nice to hear from James, that he was actively engaged with the number of people and citizens who were stranded on the airport on Saturday and Sunday, and they were not aware of exactly where they were going to go to and what was going to be done. But the travel ban has definitely placed quite a bit of strain and given the local tourism industry a huge blow, and Cape Town Tourism conducted a survey to understand the projective behavior of tourists over the busy December period. 67% of those sampled confirmed that they intend to travel over the festive period, with many planning ahead for the 2022 Easter period. So, and to unpack the finer details of that particular survey, we are joined by Cape Town Tourism CEO Enver Dumini. Enver, good morning and welcome to Cape Talk.
Morning, Zane.
For a long time now, I think we were sitting and hoping. You know, we thought that initially COVID would be something which was just 3 months and it would be over. And then we sat with 6 months, then we sat with a year. And eventually we're looking at 18 or 19 months down the line. And I'm so sad to look. And Johannes and I were looking at the hotel across the road here. And the hotel, you know, the actual name of the hotel is now closed, because the hotel is closed down. This has hit so many other industries in and around Cape Town. Did we not shift the focus to domestic tourism and local tourism? Should we not have shifted that a little bit earlier? And what does the survey show? That, you know, 67% of the people that you sampled, what does the survey indicate?
So, Zane, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, this never-ending horror story has been a difficult thing for us to deal with as the sector. However, I think we remain resilient and hopeful that things will be changing in for the positive, as we've seen over the last, let's say, 3 or 4 months, and that these restrictions in the international markets and getting on the behind all of that would be happening as quickly as possible. However, as Cape Town Tourism, we have not shifted just to the domestic market just because there's no international. We have always believed that domestic tourism is the backbone of the tourism sector, and that is common throughout the world. And what we also believe is that international tourism should just be the cherry on top. However, we've got a long way to go in trying to, of course, increase our numbers domestically, especially the fact that we've seen a lot of unemployment and, again, a lot less disposable income, where people look at travel as a luxury, not necessarily as a necessity. So what we have done as Cape Town Tourism, even before the announcement last week or this weekend by the UK government and others to put in the travel bans, we were actually wanting to know, and we do the survey every year, what is the intent of the domestic travelers? And also, what are the influences and barriers if they are not intending to travel? And I think it indicated, yes, 67% of people did indicate they were going to travel over this December. We took as a positive is that last year, this time when we had run the survey, 60% said they were not going to travel. So I think that's a big shift in the mindset of the consumers in South Africa. But, of course, we still have a portion that's saying they're not going to travel, and they will probably delay their travel till Easter next year. And the main reason for that is they just have significant financial challenges. There isn't enough money to go around, and therefore they are postponing. But another thing that we found interesting in our survey was not necessarily only the financial challenges that people have who are not traveling, but also there's a concern around further restrictions and whether people are going to lose their money if they place deposits to travel, et cetera. So that uncertainty around what government's going to do next is also delaying the decision, which ultimately ended up in the results also showing from the survey that people may be doing bookings a few days before actually traveling. So we do expect a surge sometime in December, and I'm hoping that it happens as soon as possible so that we can also provide some level of comfort to the tourism sector who are reeling at this stage.
The uncertainty causes a bit of problems, because that uncertainty for me, for instance, if I want to travel somewhere, I am not sure whether we're going to go into a level 3 or whether we're going to remain on level 1. And you know, you don't automatically kind of just book you know, well in advance, because you could be losing your deposit, and so many people have lost their deposits, you know, and haven't been refunded their deposits. That's number one. But it also makes it very difficult for the person running a business, for instance. And I mean, we've got beautiful places in and around Cape Town. We have some of the best in the province, some of the best wild game reserves that people can actually come and visit. And it's not far. It's just up the west coast, or up the N1, about an hour's drive outside of Cape Town. But it also makes it very difficult for those businesses to start projecting heading forward in terms of staff, in terms of budget, in terms of food, accommodation, and the rest of it.
Yeah, Zane, I think uncertainty for everyone, I think, has probably been the biggest drawback of the COVID-19 pandemic, besides, of course, the horrific deaths that we have suffered. But I do think, as well as your point is that it's difficult to plan. And I think that as a tourism sector, we basically, you know, plan for the month, and then we kind of rejig those plans literally every day, sometimes during the day. But again, this is par for the course and something we've been living with as a sector for the last 20 months or so. And then just to come back on that point that you raised around people being concerned around the deposits and losing that. So I think in the first round of COVID, I think it was a shock for everyone. And of course, there are certain terms and conditions when you do book your holiday within the sector. But one of the things we realize in the sector is that we need to have more flexible cancellation rates and policies that don't place a burden or fear from the tourists or even the locals of saying, I'm not sure, I'm going to get my money back. So there's a lot more flexible policies around cancellations. Of course, we always try to ask you to move your dates maybe to when there is certainty, but there's a lot more flexible. And I think also if you actually go look in terms and conditions or speak to a travel agent, a tour operator, they'll give you the clarity and saying, actually, you know what, your deposit is safe. We will make sure you get your deposit back. And I think people want that form of certainty. So as while we deal with uncertainty of what's going to happen next, I think the tourism industry is saying we need to give certainty to our clients. And that's where we focus on. So that when they do come again, the most important thing is making sure we adhere to safety protocols continuously as a sector and not become complacent around that.
Mm. And some people have opted for a no penalty on cancellations, which I felt was actually quite nice. And it was also the correct direction to give in. You see, don't pay us until you get here. And there's no penalty if you actually cancel your booking. We have a number of things to offer. And I was chatting to James yesterday. He says we've got 50 things to do under 50 Rand in Cape Town. But what else do we have in Cape Town to offer people, and what can you give them the security to say, you know what, if you come here, this is what we'll be offering in Cape Town? We've got some great standards and we've got some great service delivery in terms of our tourism industry. And I must really say we are definitely on top of it, and we're definitely world-class in Cape Town.
Absolutely, Zane. For me, I think, yeah, besides the 50 things to do for under 50 Rand, which again speaks to affordability of the destination, one of the things, especially for the domestic market, is feeling the financial pinch. We have everything in Cape Town, and everything. There's a lot of things you can do for free as well. I think we take for granted the fact that you can go to the beach, you can stroll around in the CBD, or even go to, you know, a township where you go to Khayelitsha. Because the one thing we keep forgetting as probably the domestic market is that international tourists save up for a lifetime, even though they've got euros or dollars, they save up for a lifetime for one trip, and then they choose Cape Town. And then the things they want to do in Cape Town is the things that yes, maybe they would want to go and do the Big Six, but they also want to go and hang out with the locals, hang out. So they want to go into your own neighborhood, which we sometimes take for granted and thinking, but I live here. Why would I want to go and hang out in my own neighborhood? But I think also what we've realized is that with lockdown, people were actually forced to explore their own neighborhoods. And they're beginning to discover what's beautiful about their own neighborhoods and adjacent neighborhoods. So I think what we are looking at from a Cape Town tourism perspective is what we call the Pocket Friendly Challenge, where we provide you with some ideas of what you can do for, let's say, $150 as a group of people, whether you want to go and do drumming in Google Earth, to go and have a lekker braai in Khayelitsha, or even go to Athlone and just go and chill in the parking lot, you know, grab a Gatsby, have a conversation with a local, because I think that is the true beauty of Cape Town. Yes, we've got all the beautiful scenery and it's amazing outdoors, but I think we mustn't forget our people, which always rate highly in all the international departure surveys we do when we ask people, what was the most memorable thing for you? And they keep saying our people. So again, I think there's a lot to offer, and people must just continue to check out our website, www.capetown.travel. We will provide up-to-date things of what to do for you, your family, your loved ones, or visiting friends and relatives.
chatting this morning to the CEO at Cape Town Tourism, Enver Dumini. And they did a survey that people are, 67% of people that they sampled confirmed that they intend to travel over the festive period. And many of these are planning the 2022 Easter period. If you're planning that Easter period, or if you have questions for Enver, we'd love to hear from you on 021-446-0567 and also on the WhatsApp line on 072-567-1567. The per person rate, Enver, and one doesn't want to dictate to the industry what they should or should not do, but I mean, we still at certain instances cannot have rates of 1,500 and 1,800 and even up rates of up to 2,000 rand per person sharing per night.
Then I think this is the challenge that we always have, and I think even earlier on with when John was on the Feel We show, the question is always around, you know, affordability, and that we appear to be pricing the locals out of the market. Again, it's about the savings culture. Tourists don't just rock up here, and not every single tourist is a millionaire. They actually save up for that one trip of a lifetime, and they just happen to choose our destination. And of course, the perception is that, you know, they've got lots of money, and they've got euros and dollars. The other thing also, the cost of operating these businesses are significant. If you want to run a world-class business that people from all overseas says, wow, this is amazing, it's the safety protocols, the liquor licenses, the cost of energy that goes up, and also having to pay employees in the sector a decent living wage, all those costs add up. So it's not that the industry is saying, well, we want to rip people off. It's we also need to understand the input cost that goes into these things in order to make sure it's a world-class experience. However, we are cognizant of the fact that there are price challenges. And a lot of times what accommodation providers have done is they've moved from the old rate of per person to per room. So there are shifts in that to try and attract the local market. But I think, again, we still got a long way to go in some areas. I am aware also of attractions providing incentives for locals. Others are looking at a tiered rate for locals versus international. There are pros and cons to all of these things. But I think, you know, we are all suffering at this stage. A lot of people who were planning on going overseas to the UK and London or Europe or US who can't do so now, I would recommend that they actually, you know, utilize that money, spend it in Cape Town, and also help the economy to thrive so that at some stage we can rebuild this economy, rebuild the sector, create the jobs, and, you know, you can have a good time in actually doing good and helping the sector in doing so.
Chatting this morning to Enver Dumini, who is the CEO of Cape Town Tourism. And, yeah, a number of people have said, and we can get ready probably for an influx of people coming down from KZN as well as people coming down from Johannesburg. Our beaches are just world-class, and, of course, the rest of Cape Town, when you go out onto the wine farms and out into places like Speed and, a lot of other places in Cape Town, it's just an amazing experience. And the nice thing about Cape Town, Enver, is you don't have to drive far. You don't have to drive 2.5 hours to get to a place to enjoy yourself. It's all within the reach of about an hour, hour and a quarter. I mean, Aquila Game Reserve is one of the favorites to go to, and that's just around the corner. Split rates, that's the nice part of it all. A number of institutions, a number of people have said, this is the rate for international tourists, and this is the rate for local tourists. And, I mean, even some of... the city of Cape Town and the provinces tour destinations have done that.
Yeah. So I think when you look at those who are offering the tiered rates or the split rates, they're mostly the government institutions who are able to do so. And I think, again, that's being subsidized by public money to some extent. So therefore, I mean, that return is there. I think at the end of the day, I mean, this is pure economics about supply and demand. But we also are aware of the fact that, again, people under financial pressure, businesses themselves under financial pressure, have had to lay off lots of staff while still trying to keep the quality world class. So I do think that there is a shift towards what they call differential pricing for locals versus international. But I think we must also be careful that, you know, the gap between the international rate or the local rate is not too big that will deter international tourists from coming here. I think also when you look at it from a tour experience, is a lot of locals will, of course, use the weekends to go and enjoy the city, etc. And therefore, tourism and visit economy will benefit. But it's during the week. That's where the international tourists actually make up the biggest demand.
Yeah.
And we forget sometimes about that because a hotel has to operate 24/7. When it switches on that lift, it costs a lot of money to get it to go up and down safely. And again, I think there's always going to have to be a trade-off somewhere. But one of the things we mustn't forget is that I think we spoiled for choice, as you indicated. There are very few destinations in the world where you can literally be in the mountain in the morning, be in the vineyards in the afternoon, and then be at the beach in the evening. It just, you know, and I think we forget about that beauty of it.
And then also experience four seasons in one day. Enver Dumini, the CEO of Cape Town Tourism, chatting to us this morning.